Good morning. Today's daf in Yuma is Chaf Dalet. We're in Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. We are starting about two-thirds of the way down, even a little bit less, about halfway down. We're going to be starting this morning with the machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And we are discussing the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. The mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen is not related to Yuma. It's year-round. It's a mitzvah every day in the Beis HaMikdash. That the first avodah that's done every morning, it's not even the morning, it's pre-morning, it's pre-dawn, is that a kohen is going to go up the ramp to the top of the mizbeach, take a shovel full of ash, and remove it from the top of the mizbeach. We learned that he brings it down, puts it by the southeast side of the ramp of the mizbeach, and that's it, and that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. There's also a separate mitzvah of Hotzas Hadeshen, but the focus really primarily is on the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. Why is it coming up over here in Yuma if it's not related to Yuma? Because it's the first of the Payasos, the beginning of the second parak of Yuma, which is on Chav Beis. We're already now the third daf into the second parak. So it tells us about the four lotteries that are taken in the Beis HaMikdash. So the first of the four lotteries is to see who's going to be doing the Trumas Hadeshen that we discussed already, the first couple of blot, in terms of the system, the lottery system, why specifically the lottery system. But anyway, but it's for the first avoda, which is the Trumas Hadeshen. What is it doing over here, Masechta Yuma? So that's a wonderful question, which we already addressed, but it's extraordinarily important in terms of just the avodas Yom HaKippurim. What is it doing over here in Yuma, this Mishnah? So it's not totally clear. The Baal Maor, which we quoted already before, so in this parak, but the truth of the matter is that there is no riff on the second parak. There's no riff on Prakims 1 through 7. The riff is only on the eighth parak. But anyway, but the Baal Maor says that on Yom Kippur, there is no pias for the Trumas Hadeshen, because the Kohen Gadol is going to be doing the Trumas Hadeshen. Why? Because the Baal Maor writes, because the Kohen Gadol is going to be doing every avoda on Yom Kippur, including the Trumas Hadeshen. So for the Baal Maor, what's this parak doing over here? Okay, it's a great question. It's not totally clear. Now, I say that, by the way. Well, in other words, according to the Baal Maor, what you would say is that the end of the previous parak was talking about the Trumas Hadeshen. So, okay, so throw it in over here. But it is strange. And the Ramban, in his Muhammad, so one of the points that he makes a number of points. So one of the points that he makes is that you're not going to just simply insert this parak right here in Yuma and have it nothing to do with Yuma. That's really strange. So the Baal Maor says that no, the Trumas Hadeshen is not going to be done by the Kohen Gadol; it will be done by other Kohanim. Okay. Anyway, with all that stated, so we now return to our discussion. The mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen is found in the beginning of Parshat Tzav. We noted this yesterday. We went through the Psukim yesterday. So let me just quickly review the salient Psukim, which we're going to be spending a lot of time this morning on. Right in the beginning of Parshat Tzav, it's the beginning of the sixth parak of Vayikra. So it's a long pasuk. V'lavasha kohen. We're going to start on pasuk gimel. V'lavasha kohen midovar mechzus evad yobash al b'saro. So what the kohen is going to do is he's going to put on his begadim. In a moment, we're going to know only two begadim are mentioned over here, right? The mechnesayim and the midovar. It's for his tunic, if you will. And then v'heirim esadeshin asher tochal ha'esh al ha'sa'ola al ha'mizbeach v'samo eitz ha'mizbeach. And then haramas hadeshin, trumas hadeshin, right? You take a portion of the ashes on the top of the mizbeach. Then the Torah goes on to describe next pasuk, this pasuk dalet. Ufashadas begadav v'lavash begadim acherim v'otzias hadeshin amichutz machaneh makam tahor. And then you have hotzas hadeshin. The Torah does know that he does change clothing. So he changes clothing in order to do hotzas hadeshin. Good. So what did we do yesterday? So if you recall yesterday's daf, so by hotzas hadeshin, so we had a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Tanakama. Hotzas Hadeshen, is that an avoda? Is that not considered an avoda? So Tanakama says, yeah, it's an avoda. The Torah does say he's going to be changing his clothing. That's true, but he's not changing his clothing into non-Kohen clothing. Tanakama is of the opinion that you change your clothing into just slightly more worn down clothing. Can't be torn, as we learned back in Zvachim, the second parak of Zvachim, but it can be worn. Okay, right. That's my alliteration for the day. So the so that's the sheet of the Tanakama. And meanwhile, Rabbi Eliezer says no. That the that when the Torah describes acherim, right? It's not really the simple pshat in the pasuk, but according to the according to Rabbi Eliezer, so ufashat es begadav lavash begadim acherim. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, acherim is actually a reference to the Kohen other Kohanim could do Hotzas Adashin. What does that mean, other Kohanim? Even if you're a Baal Mum, you could do the Hotzas Adashin. Okay, that's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, clearly Hotzas Adashin is not an avoda, and according to the Tanakhama, Hotzas Adashin is an avoda. Which now brings us to today's daf, or at least not yet, but pretty much to today's daf, as this is now going to be starting a topic that's going to go well into today's daf, and that is good. So Hotzas Adashin is a machlokas. What about Trumas Adashin? Now, as I pointed out yesterday, Trumas Adashin is done daily. So it's much easier to view that as an avoda. Hotzas Adashin, at least according to Rashi, Hotzas Adashin is as needed. Meaning there's going to be a lot of ash building up on the top of the mizbech. It's going to need a cleaning, right? It's like my grill. I ignore it at home. But when I don't ignore my grill at home, so in other words, it's going to need a cleaning every now and then. So over here by the top of the mizbech, so when it gets enough ash, you do Hotzas Adashin. So good. So it's open for debate whether it's an avoda or not. By Trumas Adashin, so first of all, it's done every day. That already is a good indicator that it's an avoda. On top of that, just the idea of truma, meaning you're taking off a portion. If it's a functional issue, so then take off everything. It's clearly not a functional issue if what you're doing is just simply taking off a shovelful. So it's much easier to view it as an avoda. So is an avoda or is it not an avoda? Funny you should ask. Let's start with today's daf. So Amar Reish Lakish. Okay? It's a little more than halfway down in the Amud. It's the last three words on the line on Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Amar Reish Lakish ka machlokas ba'otzas kach machlokas ba'arama. So Reish Lakish says, yeah, you know how we just went over that there's a machlokas regarding Hotzas Adashin? So he says that they would also dispute as to whether or not Trumas Adashin is a machlokas as well. Rav Yochanan amar machlokas ba'otzas ba'arama divrei kol avodihi. And Rav Yochanan says, no. They are debating about Hotzas Adashin, but that's it. They're not debating about Trumas Adashin. Trumas Adashin, according to everybody, is in fact an avoda. So here now, a machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, how far does this machlokas split, divide the Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer? According to Reish Lakish, it divides them for both Truma and Hotzah. Or let me go in the bigger Chiddush. It's divided for Hotzah and for Truma. And according to Rav Yochanan, no. They're debating Hotzah, but they're not debating Truma. Harama. My time at the Reish Lakish, so the Gemara says, okay, so obviously what we have to do now is we have to construct an argument for Reish Lakish. Meaning, according to Reish Lakish, Trumas Adashin is not an avoda. So Amalacha, Yisakadacha avodi, Yeshacha avoda, Shikshir b'shnei kelim. So Reish Lakish says, yeah, I'll make the argument. The argument for Reish Lakish would sound like this. As we already noted, but now we're going to be focusing on the Pesukim. The Torah says that for the mitzvah of Trumas Adashin, so it says, V'lavasha Kohen. Now the Kohen is going to put on his begadim. But then the Torah only identifies two begadim. Now wait one second. If a Kohen's going to do the avoda, the Kohen's got to wear his begadim. There are four in total. So where's the belt? Where's the hat? It's not mentioned over here in the pasuk. Okay. Now if the Torah just simply says he's got to put on his begadim, so we venture a guess that it'd be all four. It'd be more than a guess, right? We'd be correct. But by virtue of the fact that the Torah only lists two of the four begadim, so now that would seem to be an argument that's not an avoda. So, Rav Yochanan, Gali Rachmana, Biktonus, Umichnasayim, Vuadilim, and Stephas, Vavnei. So, and Rav Yochanan will tell you, look, the Torah mentions two, but of course he wears all four. Now, Umaish Nahani, so the obvious question. So then why only mention these two? If in fact, according to Rav Yochanan, you're going to argue that he's wearing all four begadim. So the Gemara says, but those two begadim are just to tell us halachas, two halachas. Specifically, number one, Midovad. So, Mido, Kimidaso. So the first halacha is that when the Kohen's wearing his tunic, so it's got to fit him, right? The tunic is basically a robe, right? Starts at the neck, goes all the way down, somewhere around his calves. Okay, and it needs to be tailored. So and we learn that from the word mido, which could be understood as mida. So it's got to fit him. And now mechnas debad lechidatanya. Now as far as the mechnas debad is concerned, that's telling us another halacha, which is minayin shelo yedaver. Four garments got to be worn by the Kohen. Is there a specific order? Well, here's what we know. He's got to put on the pants first. Pants have to go on first. Shenemar mechnas debad, yobash al bisaro. Meaning that when all he is just basar, meaning he's not clothed at all. So the first thing that goes on is mechnasayim. Okay, that's another halacha. Good. So those are the reasons, according to Rav Yochanan, why these two articles of clothing are put onto the, are listed in the psukim. Not because it's a non-avoda, practice of taking off the Trumas Adashin. No, just for these particular halachas. So the Gemara says, Reish Lakish. So, mahu, midah kimidah. So midafka rechman, blasha midah. And now what Reish Lakish will tell you is as follows. I agree with these halachas, but that's not why these two clothing are mentioned. These two clothing are mentioned because it's not an avoda, and he only has to wear these two clothing. Now, as far as the halachas are concerned, so I agree. So the, so as far as mido is concerned, that it has to fit him. So mida afke rechman ablasha mido, meaning by virtue of the fact that the Torah uses the word mido, it's an unusual choice of wording. So that tells me the halacha that's got to fit him. And as far as shaloi hey davar kodel mechnasayim me al basaro nafka, and the fact that you're not allowed to wear the first thing you got to put on is your pants. So al basaro. So. Yeah, so Reish Lakish says, I agree with those halachas, but that's not the reason why these two begadim are mentioned. Where are we right now? A machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish is Trumas Hadesh an avoda or is it not an avoda? Now, right, the truth of the matter is that we can go much further down this path. We're not, right, we haven't gotten to our daf yet, but the truth of the matter is, according to Reish Lakish, who's arguing that the Trumas Hadeshen is not an avoda, and that's why the Torah mentions two begadim, and you can have, he's in agreement with Rabbi Eliezer. That part I'm not sure about. Meaning, it could just simply be that he's saying that only according to Rabbi Eliezer, it would be a non avoda. Whatever. However specifically we're gonna say it, does it mean that only a Kohen Balmum can do the Trumas Hadeshen? Meaning, why don't we just bring it to its logical conclusion? If it's not an avoda, anybody could do it, right? I could do it. So it's not totally clear, and it happens to be that I'm not showing all my cards. Meaning, it happens to be that the top tosis on this amud discusses this very point. Meaning, how far are we going to go according to the shita that's not an avoda? Okay, name a kitanai. Gemara now is going to go like this. So far, what we've seen is that Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish are arguing whether Trumas Hadeshen is a Navoda or not Navoda. The Gemara would like to suggest now that it didn't start with Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Actually, it goes earlier to Machlokes HaTanaim. How do I know that? Well, let's first learn a Braisa. So it says that the Kohen is going to be wearing the clothing. And then Yobash al Basaro, that Yobash is totally superfluous. The same verb was used earlier in the Pasuk. So what are we learning from the word Yobash? So here in this Braisa, there's going to be no less than three opinions in terms of what we do with the word Yobash. So Matam Alam Yobash, so Lahavi Mitznafas Avne La Ram Adiv Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the second Yobash is coming to tell me that he has to wear the two other Begadim as well. Okay, in other words, it's an Avoda. And you have to wear four begadim. The Torah only mentions two of the four. Yeah, but the second Yobash is there to allude to the other two begadim. Good. That shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Doso, Amar LeRabbis Big Day Kohen Gadol, B'Yom HaKippurim Shikshem LeKohen Hedjot. And Rabbi Doso says, nah, that's not what the Yobash is coming to tell me. What's the Yobash coming to tell me? The recycling of clothing. Kohen Gadol, after he does the Avodah of Yom Kippur. So, and we're talking about the big day lovin' of the Kohen Gadol, which are four begadim. So after he's done with it, so now, okay, right, he wants to give it over to Stama Kohen Hedjot. So that'd be fine. Because the Kohen Hedjot anyway is wearing four begadim. So you're gonna take the big day lovin' of Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, and have it reused, repurposed by Kohen Hedjot. So I'm a Rebbe, so when Rebbe hears this position of Rebbe Dosa, so Rebbe reacts strongly. Shtei chufas b'davar. Chada davneto shel Kohen Gadol lo zehu avneto shel Kohen Hedjot. So first of all, we've covered this already. There is a major debate in terms of the construction of the belt of the Kohen Hedjot. Kohen Gadol, we have perfect clarity of what the belt of the Kohen Gadol. The belt of a Kohen Gadol year-round when he's wearing his eight begadim is made up of shatneis. The belt of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is made up just of linen. What about the belt of a Kohen Hedjot, a regular Kohen? Not clear. And open for debate. However, right now, we're learning just the Shita of Rabbi. Rabbi's of the opinion that it's made up of shatneis. So the first question that Rabbi says to Rabbi Dosa, you can't repurpose the begadim, the big day lovin' of a Kohen Gadol, and just give it to a Stam Kohen. First of all, wrong construction of belt. The belt of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, all linen. The belt of a Stam Kohen, shatneis. Okay, so that's problem number one. That already ends the discussion. Now, it doesn't really end the discussion, by the way, because not everyone's in agreement to Rebbe in terms of the construction of the belt of the Kohen Hedjot. Okay, but anyway, let's call that, let's question number one. And then another argument, which is, you're going to take the Begadim, the Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur, and now you're going to let a Kohen Hedjot use it? Right? The Gemara doesn't use this language, but Malam Bekodesh Vein Moridin. You go up in Kedusha, you don't go down in Kedusha. So Elamatam Alomer Yilbash. So here we are now with the third opinion of what we do with the word Yilbash. And obviously this sounds like it's Rabbi's position, meaning he dismisses Rabbi Dos's version. So So it's coming to tell me that I could use worn out clothing, that the clothing that's used over here does not have to be brand new. It could be worn down. Can't be torn again. I know I made that point already before. Can't be torn, but it can be worn down. Good. Those are the three opinions of what we learn from the word Yilbash. The position of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Dosa, and Rabbi. Now, really, what we want to focus on is the positions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa. We're going to come back to it, but here we quoted a Braisa. The Gemara is going to quote the end of the Braisa. We'll come back. We're coming back. So, Vihinicham Sham, Malami, Shetun, and Geniza. Now, over here, the Braisa ends off by quoting from Parshas Achrimos, and the Begadim of the Kohen Gadol, Vihinicham Sham, he's going to put them over there. He'll leave them over there, which means what? Tunim Geniza. They have to be put away. In other words, never to be used again. Don't, right? Geniza means that you're not going to dispose of it like garbage. On the other hand, we're not going to make usage of it anymore, so you have to respectfully and properly put it away, right? We bury it for Geniza, okay, something along those lines. And Rabbi Dosa Amar, Ruinein Le Kohen Hedjot, and Rabbi Dosa says, no, it can be recycled by Kohen Hedjot, meaning consistent, of course, with the Rabbi Dosa's position that we saw earlier in the Braisa. Umatom Alam Ravinicham Sham Shalei Shamish Behem Yom Kippur Ma'achir. The Torah does say Vinicham Sham. Rabbi Dosa says, yeah, I know the Torah says that. What it means is that for Yom Kippur, it can't be used for another Yom Kippur. The big day leaven of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur only has one time usage for Yom Kippur. Okay, fine. Anyway, the second part of the Braisa, it's important, but not relevant to our discussion. Now, what is relevant to our discussion is the machlokus in the beginning of the Braisa between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa, where Rabbi Yehuda says, do you know what the Yilbash is coming to tell me? That the Kohen, when he does the Truma Sedeshon, is going to be wearing four begadim. And Rabbi Dosa says, nah, that's not what it's telling me. It's telling me that about the repurposing of the begadim of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, that it can be used by Kohen Hedjot. So my love, b'hakim iflagi. So the Gemara says, okay. So now what it sounds like over here is that what is at the core of their debate is exactly our discussion. Mar Savar Avodi, Mar Savar Lav Avodi. So for the Rav Yehuda position, that the Yilbash is coming to tell me that he wears the other two begadim in addition to the Mechnasayim, in addition to the ketones. So that's coming to tell me that it's an avoda, because he's got to wear four begadim. And Rabbi Dosa, who says, nah, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with something else. So it sounds like for Rabbi Dosa, he doesn't have to wear all four begadim. And if he doesn't have to wear all four begadim, therefore it's not an avoda. Okay, that's what it sounds like. And so what comes out now is that the machlokus amarayim, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, is now turning into a machlokus tanayim. Okay, so the Gemara is not necessarily low. Dikuleyam avodi could very well be that within this brisa, everyone's of the agreement that it's an avoda. Vaha, vaha kamiflagi marsaver tzricha kral lerebuya marsaver lo tzricha kral lerebuya. It's just a question of how obvious a point is it? Meaning that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not super obvious, and therefore we need a ribuy. We need the Torah to instruct us. And according to Rabbi Dosa, it's super obvious that the Truma Sedeshon is an avoda. I don't even need a ribuy, but they both hold that it's an avoda. Okay, that kind of takes us to the first part of today's daf, a discussion amongst the Amoraim, possibly amongst the Tanaim, whether Truma Sedeshon is an avoda. It certainly sounds that way from the Torah. On the other hand, when the Torah says that the Kohen's got to suit up in order to do the Truma Sedeshon, the Torah only mentions two begadim. Okay, so the back and forth amongst the Amoraim and Tanaim as to whether or not it's an avoda. Next, by Rav Avin Truma Sedeshon Bekama. Okay, so Truma Sedeshon. So what does it sound like? Exactly like it indicates. You're taking a portion of the ashes off the Mizbeach. Oh, okay, good. So now when we say a portion, so let's talk our fractions. How much do we take off the ashes? Now the total amount of ashes on the Mizbeach obviously is going to be a moving target. It really depends on the activity on the previous day in the Beis Hamikdash. Sometimes it could be a lot, sometimes it's not. It's not going to be a lot, right? I would imagine that on a Yontiv, right, the mounds of ashes on the top are tremendous. So granted that the total is going to be a moving target, okay, that's fine. The Gemara's question is just very simply, okay, but how much do I have to take off in terms of percentage, meaning like any other truma? So, and basically now, what's going to be our base model of truma in order to establish what the amount is that we take off of the for the mitzvah of truma sedeshin? So the by Rabbi Avin truma sedeshin mekama trumas meiser yalfin Allah omi trumas midjan yalfin Allah. So the Gemara cites two possible prototypes of what's going to be the truma. The first one is going to be trumas meiser. So here's the story. We know this. We go over this time and again. That the balabais is going to be taking off truma gedola, which is going to be about 2% approximately. Then he's going to take off meiser 10%, give that to the levy. Of that, the levy is going to take 10% of the 10% that he received, and he's going to give that to the kohen. And that's what's called trumas meiser. So trumas meiser comes out to be how much? Well, it's funny. It kind of depends from whose perspective. From the levy, it's 10%. From the balabais, it's 1%. But let's assume that we're talking about from the levy because he's the one who's actually taking it off. So that's 10%. So that's one possibility. Or trumas midjan. Now trumas midjan, right? If you don't know about it, so it's somewhat excusable. I mean, it's Torah, so it's not, but somewhat excusable. So somewhere towards the end of Sefer Bamidbar, so we go to war against midjan. All right, it was a successful campaign. We come back with spoils, and the spoils are divided. Now, how the spoils are divided, so actually, there are a couple of divisions, right? The Kohanim get a percentage. The soldiers get a percentage. Okay. So the, one of the ways that the spoils is divided is that when it comes to the Nefashos, meaning, not only did we come back from Midjan with spoils in terms of property, but also in terms of people as well. So, slaves. So one of them is Echa Nefesh Mechamesh Ameos. So they would get one out of 500. Obviously, tremendously small percentage. Okay.
Why did you say that you meant the one-time thing?
Okay, good. So hold. Excellent. I'm gonna cover that. So Imi Trumas Mejin Yafin Allah. So Tashma. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's see. So either it's gonna be now 10% or it's gonna be 1/500th. Right? A fraction of 1%. So, these are the various possibilities. So, Tashma, Dini Rabbi Chia, Nemer Kan Ve'erim, Nemer Lahalam Ve'erim, Ma Lahalam Bekumso, Afkan Bekumso. So the Gemara says, you know what? Let's go with neither of those suggestions. But rather, let's go with the suggestion of, we know that later, we talk about taking off a kemitza, a fistful. So over here, so we're taking off a kemitza, a fistful. Now we say fistful over here, by the way. We're talking about ashes are probably still blazing hot. So, right, it's really hard to imagine that what the Gemara is entertaining right now is that you're going to stick your hand into the ash pile and take out a kometz, right? With the thumb and the finger, you know, only your three center fingers being cupped over your, I don't think that's what we're describing over here. It's really hard to imagine that that's what the Torah wants. It just basically means that that's the approximate amount that you have to take, which is interesting because in the question we assumed that it was a percentage. And in the answer, the Gemara basically says, no, it's not a percentage. It's an actual known quantity amount of a kometz. Okay. Wait, hold on. Let me first go back to your first question and then let me go one question at a time. So to Ben's question, so it's funny. The Gemara asked the question, then the Gemara answered. But even when the Gemara asked the question, like, how much are you going to take off? Well, what other trumas do we know? So Tosis over here, it's the first Tosis on the Amud. It's a little bit on the longer side. So Tosis over here says, you know, it's funny. The Gemara went to Trumas Meiser. The Gemara went to Trumas Midjan. You know what the Gemara bypassed as like the most obvious choice? Truma Gedola. Meaning, how much should I take off for Truma? So the Gemara says, maybe Trumas Midjan, maybe Truma Meiser. What about Truma Gedola? Isn't that the most obvious choice? So Tosis discusses. Tosus gives a couple of suggestions why the Gemara didn't give Truma Gedola. It's funny. Halfway down, Tosus gives the answer I really thought was the most obvious. It wasn't Tosus's first answer. Inami, if you just want to see, I'm just quoting an excerpt over here. Inami, Yeshlamer came into Truma Gedola, V'chala ein lahem shir mafurash. right? And Tosfos also says, why not challah, which is either 24th or 48th, depending on whether you're a balabais or whether you're a baker. So anyway, so but Tosfos gives the answer. I would have guessed this answer, but he says, look, Truma Gedola, how much min haTorah do you have to take off? Torah doesn't give a shear. And we know, the Gemara says it numerous times. Chita achas, poteres sakri. So there is no shear min haTorah for Truma Gedola. There is no shear min haTorah for challah. The Chachamim gave a shear. Good. But there's no shear min haTorah. Obviously, when we're trying to find a shear, so we want to find a shear that the Torah describes. That's why Trumas Meiser, the Torah describes it. That's why when it comes to Midyan, the Torah describes it. Okay, another question which Ben asks, which also comes up over here in Tosfos as well. Midyan is a funny precedent in terms of establishing, you know, what the shear would be. It's a one-time event in history. It does not, it's not going to dictate a future halacha. So that is an unusual choice selection. Again, the Gemara ends up rejecting it anyway, but still, right, to his point, so, right, the Tosfos also brings this up as well in terms of using Midyan as my source. Yeah. Okay. But it is a shear. In other words, it is a quantity. Okay, next. Amarav. Okay, we're in Chavdal Amud Aleph. We are a little bit less than halfway down in the Amud. Okay, and basically now for the rest of today's daf, so we're gonna get involved in the following discussion. A non-Kohen cannot do the Avodah. It's been established. We've gone over this many times. And not only that, by the way, not only can a non-Kohen not do the Avodah, even a Kohen, but if you're Ba'amum, you can't do the Avodah as well. But a Zar that does the Avodah, so often is the time, you probably heard me say, it's Chayiv Misa, Misa B'dei Shemaim. Good, it's a pasuk in Chumash. However, what we're going to be learning in today's daf, and it is related to Truma Sedeshin, as you'll see. So what we're going to be learning together in today's daf is that a zar cannot do any avoda, but in terms of the onish of Chiyuv Misa, so for that, you have to, it's a very select number of avodas in which there's going to be a Chiyuv Misa. And what we're going to be establishing over today's daf is what exactly are the qualifications in order for a zar who does the avoda to be subject to the Chiyuv Misa. Again, to reiterate, a zar cannot do any avoda, but there are only going to be a select number of avodas where there's going to be a Chiyuv Misa. Amar Rav Arba Avodah Zar, Chayav Aleh Misa. So for four avodas, you're going to receive Misa B'day Shemayim. Right, even before we get into this discussion, I'll raise a question. I have a suggestion. Why is this information important? Meaning that a zar cannot do any avoda. Over here, when we're talking about Misa B'day Shemayim, that's an onus that comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we don't have to figure it out. Meaning it's up to Hashem which one is going to receive the onus and not. So maybe it's a, So practically speaking, why is this important? So, first of all, it's just important because, as we'll see, it's part and parcel of Limud HaTorah. In other words, we're just simply going to become more knowledgeable. But in terms of practicality, so number one, it could be just a question of tshuva, meaning that to know that you violated not just a zar doing the avoda, but a zar doing the avoda chai misa b'dei shemayim. So it could be a question of tshuva. Right, I don't particularly love that suggestion, but I threw it out there. Also, it could play into a discussion, and again, this is also not going to be like I don't love the suggestion, but it could also be for me for Kimle b'derabim mine. We know there's an opinion out there that says that when you're chayiv two onshin, so the harsher one is going to override the lighter one. So if it's let's say for example, if it's misa b'day adam. And mammon, so the mammon you don't have to pay. I'm oversimplifying. In other words, you do have to pay. It's just not enforceable. Okay. So anyway, kimle b'derabi mine. There is an opinion out there, the Gemara Ksuvos in the third parak, that we're going to say kimle b'derabi mine even by misa b'day shamayim. Okay. So if you can construct a scenario where it's misa b'day shamayim and mammon, so then one is going to override the other. Okay, and another suggestion. Again, I don't particularly love it, but I'm just thinking out loud in terms of why this important information becomes relevant. Meaning, obviously, it's important, but what's the nafkamina? What's the practical application? Okay, Amarav. Arba avodas zar chayv alem misa. So for four avodas, a zar is going to be chayv misa b'dei shamayim, and they are zrika, haktara, nisa chamayim, nisa chayayin. So the sprinkling of the blood and the burning of the fats and the limbs on the mizbeach and the mitzvahs of nisa chamayim and nisa chayayin, which is done year-round. And nisa chamayim, of course, is only done on Sukkos. Okay, now what do these four have in common? So you don't have to think that hard. The Gemara is going to spell it out. Levi Amar Av Trumas Hadeshen. Now Levi adds Trumas Hadeshen as well. So it's because of Levi's position, this whole discussion is taking place right now. But obviously, without Levi, this is totally not related to our discussion. V'cheintani Levi Ma'asisa Av Trumas Hadeshen. And Levi also has a brace as well, that Trumas Hadeshen, if a non-Kohen were to do it, so he'd be subject to Misa B'dei Shamayim. Which is really amazing, by the way. This morning, if you've been keeping score, so we've been so far out there this morning in terms of positions by Trumas Hadeshen. There is an opinion that we start off this morning that's not even an avoda, right? That we were there, and now we're all the way on the other side. We're Levi's of the position that not only is an avoda, but it's a misa bidei shamayim avoda if a czar were to do it. Okay, so we really are. And a wide spectrum of looking at Trumas Hadeshen. Okay, my time at the Rav, so what's the reason behind Rav? Meaning, why these four and only these four? So, Dichsiva, Talvanach Itach, Tishmurus Kunaschem, Lechol Dvar HaMizbeach, Uli Mibes LaParoches, Vaavaratam, Avodamatana, Etenis Kunaschem, Vaazar Karev Yumas. Okay, so, Pasuk and Parshas Korach. And now, if you look carefully over here at that pasuk, you're going to see that encoded in the pasuk are the qualifications in order to be subject to the chi of misa. Again, zar cannot do any avoda, but the pasuk over here that clearly mentions a zar karev yumas. So, in this pasuk also contains the qualifications. What are they? So, number one, avodas matana. So, it has to be an avoda in which you are giving, you're providing, v'lo avodas siluk, and not an avoda where you're removing, like Trumas Hadeshen. And remember, this is all as per the Shita of Rav. And then va'avadatem avoda tama, v'lo avoda sheyesh acharei avoda. Also, avadatem could be understood as a contraction of the word avoda tama. Right? We've had that before. Remember in Sukkah? We're getting to it in Mirtz Hashem. Right? Ulakach tem, l'kicha tama. So over here, avadatem, avoda tama. It's got to be a concluding avoda. So all four of these mentioned are in fact concluding avodas. That's why shechita, kabbalas adam, holacha. So obviously they're avodas. Obviously a non-Kohen can't do them. Well, that's not true by shechita. All right, I take it back by shechita. But by kabbalas adam and by holacha, a non-Kohen can't do them. However, it's not in the avoda tam. It's not the concluding avoda, and therefore that's not subject to misa b'dei shamayim. Levi, Rabbi Rechman, l'chol dvar ha-mizbeach. Now Levi says, look, I hear you, but the Torah also has a ribui. The Torah says, l'chol dvar ha-mizbeach. So, and that ribui is coming to tell me that, yes, you're right. Trumas Hadeshen is not avodas matana. I grant you that. However, we have a ribui in the pasuk itself. L'chol dvar ha-mizbeach. Anything related to the mizbeach, which is going to include Trumas Hadeshen. The Rav, now Rav will count and Rav will say no. Ha'ula suye sheva zoshe befnim. Now Rav will tell you, look, I agree l'chol dvar ha-mizbeach is a ribui, but not for Trumas Hadeshen, but for the sprinkling of the dam that's done in the heichal and the sprinkling that's done by the mitzora. That's what it's coming to include. V'levi nafkalei midvar v'chol dvar. Now Levi will tell you that, yeah, I agree that the sheva hazos of achatzas apnimis and the mitzvah is included, but it also says chol davar, which also includes Trumas Hadeshen as well. Rav Devar v'chol davar lo davar, and Rav just simply says, no, I disagree. Right? I don't think that there's an extra ribui in the pasuk. Ve'im l'chol davar ha-mizbech, klal avodas matana prat, klal prat in b'chol ha-mashe b'prat, avoda matana in avoda silu glow. The Gemara now asks what seems to be a really strong question against Levi, meaning that the way that the pasuk is constructed, it sounds like klal prat, and we all know the rule that when you have klal prat, ain b'klal ella mashe b'prat. The Torah gives a generality followed by specific. The specific is giving us a definition, which means only avodas matana, nothing else. And that would be a question against Levi. Amakra, u limibes la paroches. va'avaratam. So what we could do is that, yeah, you know what? The Torah could be understood as a klal prat, but what we have is a break in the action. Meaning klal prat is only when they segue one into the other. But when you have a break in the action, the pasuk, so that serves as a hefsek between the klal prat. And what Levi would argue is that lemi beis la parochas va'avaratam elmi beis la parochas hu davos matana v'lo avodas siluk habechutz afilu avodas siluk afilu avodas siluk. What Levi would argue is that yes, there is a limitation of avodas matana, but that's only in the heichal. Once you go outside the heichal, so it expands that it's not just limited to avodas matana. It would be true. It would be true even by avodas siluk. Good. So that's how Levi would counter. Yes, there's a klal prat, but only in the heichal, not outside the heichal. So the Gemara says the Gemara says okay, very good. So Levi's counter argument is that the klal prat is only limited in the heichal, and that's why outside the heichal could be avodas siluk, not just avodas matana, not just where you give, but even when you take. So yachiv va'avadatem nami al mibeis laparochas hu da'avodatama v'lo avodah sheyesh acharei avoda ha'bechutz afilo avodah sheyesh acharei avoda. So the Gemara says, okay, so now that according to Levi, where he limited the avodah matana requirement to only in the heichal, so how about if the avodah tama should also be limited in the heichal as well? Which means then that according to Levi, if it's a process, in process avodah, like Kabbalah Saddam, like Holacha, so if it's done outside the Heichal, meaning if it's done in the Azara, so maybe he would say that it would also be subject to Misa Bidei Shamayim. So the Gemara says, Va'avaratem Hadar Arvekra. So the Gemara says, no, because if you look at the Pasuk, the Avaratem is basically repeated at the end to tell me that no, that it has to be an Avodah Tama, both in and outside the Heichal as well. So by the Avodah Tama, so Levi says on that, there's nothing to argue with. It has to be a concluding avoda, like the Zrikas Adam, right? Like Nisuch HaMayim, like Nisuch HaYayin, like the Hector Chalavim. But as far as a Matana is concerned, that's only in the Heichal, not outside the Heichal. Okay. So basically what comes out now is that there are only a select number of avodas where if a Zar were to perform them, he would be subject to Misa B'Day Shamayim. Rav has the list at 4. Levi has the list at 5. And the back and forth in terms of where the sourcing of these halachas are. By Rava, the Gemara asks over here a quick question according to Rava. Avodah siluk beheichal mahu. What if it's avodah siluk in the heichal? Meaning, as Rashi points out over here, this question is according to Levi. Meaning, according to Rav, avodah siluk altogether is not subject to Misa B'Day Shemaim. But what if it's avodah siluk in the heichal? What is an avodah siluk in the heichal? Rashi writes over here via avodah tama kigon dishon mizbeach apnimi, right? Cleaning out the inner mizbeach. Okay, good. So it is the concluding avodah by the in terms of that aspect, but it is siluk. So it's in the heichal. So what would Levi say over there? Lifnim midaminale or lechutz midaminale. So the Gemara says, is that like sprinkling of the blood in the Kodesh Kadashim? Is that more like doing an avoda in the Azara? So Adha Pasha, mi beis, ule mi beis. So the Gemara says, yeah, the Torah, again, all this is a question according to Levi. The Torah says, not just mi beis, but ule mi beis. So it means to say that you have to be, in order to be a limiting halacha, you have to be outside of the Heichal altogether. Meaning in the Heichal itself, it could be even an avodah siluk. So Alamiata, so the Gemara says, okay. So, what just happened over here? So fine, so a machlokus between Levi and Rav in terms of which avodas are subject to Misa B'Day Shemayim. According to Rav, only 4. Levi says 5. Gemara basically went back and forth. Not only did Gemara go back and forth, but even within the Shita of Levi, like how far would he take it? The Gemara now from here until basically the end of the daf today says, okay, so with all this stated, so the Gemara would like to know that the avoda tama requirement is subject to a chiyuv. So the Gemara now wants to know why don't we consider a whole bunch of other avodas? The Gemara now is going to entertain right nearly. I actually counted it out. It's going to be about eight different avodas that should have made the list, but the Gemara says, but it's not going to make the list. In other words, again, the requirements are, it has to be a concluding avoda, and it's got to be a matana, a give where you contribute, not where you take something away. So the Gemara says, Elamihata, Zashesira Sashokhan, Lechayev. So the Gemara says, okay, so you put together the Shokhan, meaning you put the loaves of the Lechem Aponim, the 12 Lechem Aponim loaves, on the Shokhan. Sounds, it is a matana you're giving. It is tama. It's concluding, right? So if a zar were to do that, he should be chayev, chayev misa, right? So the Gemara says, no, ika sidr bezich. And the Gemara says, no, it's not concluding. Because afterwards, you have this two spoonfuls of lavona that are placed on top. So the Gemara says, okay, great. Oh, good. Next question. Sidr bezich and lechayev. Okay, so now, a non-Kohen were to put the two spoonfuls of lavona on. That's concluding, right? So ika siluk v'haktara. So the Gemara says it's not concluding because eventually what we're going to do is we're going to take it off and then we're going to burn it. So the Gemara says, okay, Zar Shesidar Samanara Lichayev. So the Gemara says, and by the way, why didn't the Gemara just simply advance the discussion? Meaning, okay, so what if a non-Kohen were to take it off? Yeah, but the answer is built in. Taking something away, at least, again, we're assuming like Rav, so you're not going to be Chayev. Okay, next. Ika Siluk V'Aktar. Zar Shesidar Samanara Lichayev. What about putting arranging the menorah? So right, that's an avoda, and seemingly it's the last avoda. The Gemara says it's not the last avoda. It can see a psila because just by putting the oil in, it's not enough. You got to put in the wicks. So the Gemara says fine. Now some psila lechayes. The Gemara says okay. So the non kohen who puts the wicks in, he should be chayv. So ikan esina shem. And the Gemara says no, there's the oil. Okay. So obviously I was wrong, by the way. In other words, the first cedar of the menorah, obviously he's not putting in the oil. Maybe it's just simply cleaning out the oil from last night. Maybe. Anyway, Nasan Shem Lechayev. Okay, so putting in the oil should be Chayev. So the Gemara says, no, Ika Hadlaka. So the Gemara says, no, because there's the Hadlaka. So Hidlik Lechayev. So the Gemara says, okay, lighting the menorah. So the Gemara says, Hadlaka Lavavodihi. So interesting, fascinating. The Gemara says that the lighting of the menorah is not an avoda. Okay? The lighting of the menorah is not an avoda. Now, in of itself, right, that's in of it, just, It's so unusual that, right, obviously the functionality of the menorah is the fact that it's going to be lit, and the lighting of it in of itself is not an avoda, right? It's amazing. So now what comes out now is that any of the avodas that are done by the menorah, a zar is not going to be chayv misa b'dei shamayim. Again, he can't do any of it, right? We established that in the beginning of this whole sugya. But when are you going to receive misa b'dei shamayim? So again, it's got to be an avoda matana, and it's got to be avodas tama. It's got to be the concluding avoda. Everything up to the lighting is preparation, and the lighting is not an avoda. Right? It works out pretty amazingly. And that's why a zari were to do any of them, he wouldn't be subject to misa b'dei shamayim. And by the way, it also sounds like from our Gemara that a zar can, in other words, we said up until now that a zar can't do any of these avodas. But if lighting the menorah is not an avoda, sounds like a zar could do that. Okay. Rambam writes that. Rambam writes that a non-Kohen can light the menorah. Right? Much discussion about that. Rambam, how is he getting in order to light? Anyway. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know, lighting the mizbeach, lighting the wood on the mizbeach, that's an avoda. You need a kohen. He needs to be wearing the begadim. So the Gemara says, I'm with you. Hatzasas alisa avodihi, alaka lav avodihi. Yeah, lighting of the fire on the mizbeach, that's an avoda. The lighting of the menorah, that's not an avoda. Okay? I definitely need better articulation in terms of what's the difference? Why the lighting of the menorah does not qualify as an avoda? Meanwhile, lighting the fire in the mizbeach is an avoda. Okay, anyway. Elamiata zar shesidar samaracha lechayev. Okay, sidar amaracha, arranging the pyre on the mizbeach. So isn't that the last avoda? So ika sidar shnei gzirei etzim. So the Gemara says, no, it's not. Because then after it's arranged, then you add two new logs of wood. Remember, we discussed in the beginning of this perek, the Kohen who is awarded the Trumas Hadeshin, as a bonus, he's going to be able to do Sidra Maracha and Shnei Gzirei Eitzim. So the Gemara says, okay, Seder Shnei Gzir Eitzim L'chayev. If a non-Kohen now were to take the two logs of wood and put it on the Mizbech, he'd be chayev. So Iker Seder Eivarim. So the Gemara says, well, there's also putting the limbs on top of it. That really is the conclusion. V'hamar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Zarshi Seder Shnei Gzir Eitzim Chayev. So the Gemara says, okay, but it happens to be that Rav Yochanan's of the opinion that when a non-Kohen puts two logs of wood on the Mizbech, he's going to be chayev. So Baha Pliki, so the Gemara says, yeah. Okay, good. I know that's Rav Yochanan's position. So there's a debate, and the Gemara goes on to explain over here what is the debate. Mar Savar Avodah Tamahi or Mar Savar Lav Avodah Tamahi. Gemara says that, look, as far as Rav is concerned, so Rav's of the position that the arranging the two new logs of wood on the Mizbeach is only preparation for the Haktara, and therefore the Haktara itself is going to be the Avodah Tama. And Rav Yochanan says, no, the arrangement of the two logs of wood, that ends that chapter, if you will, of the Avodah and the burning of the Haktara. That's considered categorically a new chapter. Okay, so good. So that's the machlokes between them. Anyway, when all said and done, this is now going to be a good way to end the daf. Tanya Kavasi the Rav, Tanya Kavasi the Levi. A Braisa going like Rav, a Braisa going like Levi. Remember, this whole discussion started with if a non-Kohen did Truma Sedeshin. Chayiv Misa or not Chayiv Misa? Rav says it's not Chayiv Misa because it's Siluk. And Levi says no, Chayiv Misa. The Siluk requirement is only in the Heichal, not in the Azara. And the Gemara says, good, we have Braisa supporting each position. Avodah Shazar, the Tanya Kavasi de Rav, Avodah Shazar Chayiv Alem Misa, Zrikas Adam, Bein Lifnim, Bein Lifnai V'Lifnim. So the sprinkling of the blood, V'Hamazah B'Chatzah Sa'of, V'Hamamatzah. And also the blood applications of the Chatzas Of, Hamakir Ba'ola Sa'of, the burning of the Ola Sa'of, Hamnaseh Shlosh Alugim Mayim V'Shlosh Alugim Yayin, and doing the Nisuch with water and with wine, water on Sukkot, wine year round. Anyway, it comes out over here, like Rav says, that the only Avodas that is subject to Misa B'Dei Shamayim are only the Avodah Tama and the Avodah Matana. Tanya Kavasi de Levi, meanwhile, we have a Braisa going like Levi, Avodah Shazar, Chayv Alem Misa, HaMeirim Es HaDeshen, Trumas HaDeshen, good, like the Shita of Levi. V'Shev Azo, Shebifnim, and the blood applications inside, Shebim Mitzorah, V'Amala Agabe Mizbech, Bein Davar Kasher, Bein Davar Pasol, and putting something up onto the Mizbech. Anyway, this Braisa over here certainly goes like the position of Levi. This is a really good place to stop. We will stop here, over here. Let's quickly review. Our first discussion today is Trumas Hadesh and Avodah, yes or no? And Rav Yochanan, Reish Lakish deliberate this very point. Rav Yochanan says it is an Avodah, Reish Lakish says it's not. That's oversimplifying Reish Lakish, meaning he thinks that the same way that the Tanakam and Rabbi Elazar argued in yesterday's daf regarding Hotzas Adeshin, whether it's a Machlokas, they're also going to be arguing whether Trumas Adeshin is a Machlokas as well. Anyway, good. But a simplified, an oversimplified version is that according to Reish Lakish, the Trumas Adeshin is not an Avoda. The Gemara goes over the back and forth in terms of how they would learn out the Psukim by Trumas Adeshin. The Gemara suggested, end of yesterday's daf, going into today's daf, that this is the Machlokas Tanayim. The Gemara says, I'm not so sure about that. Meaning that the Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa, which I didn't go over, but it could be that they both agree that Trumas Hadeshin is in fact an Avoda. How much you have to take off the Trumas Hadeshin, next discussion of today's daf. The Gemara says maybe it's a percentage. The Gemara ends up rejecting that. It's not a percentage. But rather it's a kometz, a fistful. And again, like I commented earlier. The Kohen's not going to take his hand and put it into the ashes. It just simply means that's the amount he has to take off. Next discussion. A non-Kohen doing an avoda. Let's start off like this. A non-Kohen cannot do the avoda. But which of them is he going to be subject to Misa B'Dei Shamayim? The Pasuk in Parshas Korach says that there is specific requirements in order for that a non-Kohen be subject to the Misa B'Dei Shamayim penalty. By the way, I didn't point this out, but Misa B'Dei Shamayim is very similar to Kares. In the beginning of Yevamos, right in the beginning, Adav Beis, Amud Aleph, so Tosus over there goes over some distinctions to be made between Misa B'Dei Shamayim and Kares, but they're very similar to one another. So which avodas are if a non-Kohen were to do it, would be subject to Misa B'Dei Shamayim? So Rav gives a short list of four items. What do those four items have in common? their matana, their application, and their tama. They're the concluding of Oda. And he learns that in the pasuk. And what Levi counters and says is that I agree, but outside of the Heichal, it could be an Avoda Siluk, which means that according to Levi, Trumas Adeshin also is going to be subject to Misa Bidei Shamayim. And this Machlokas Rav and Levi basically took us through the rest of today's daf. The Gemara goes over the back and forth between Rav and Levi. The Gemara wants to know, why don't we see other Avodas Tamas? The Gemara goes through 8 different suggestions of other possible Avodas Tamas that are out there. But the Gemara's answer repeatedly was, it's not a Avodah Tama, it's not an Avodah Tama. Meaning there's another step along the way. And then the Daf concluded by citing that the Machlokas between Rav and Levi is really Machlokas HaTanayim. Adkan.